there are two wonderfully exciting new chamber opera companies in town. Well, they're more like 2 years old, and they're here with us today. Cincinnati Chamber Opera with Sean Malinek, their artistic director, and NanoWorks with Dr. Jennifer Jolly, who's the company's co-founder and artistic director. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Hello, yes, thank you.
So you're all part of what's being called Oktoberfest, and you all have productions coming up in October. Let's start with you, Sean, and tell us about what your company is going to be doing.
Of course. We are so excited about our October production. Cincinnati Chamber Opera, in collaboration with the Center for Holocaust and Humanity Education, are producing the two one-act operas that were either written, conceived, or performed in the concentration camp at Theresienstadt. In Czech, the title is Terezín, but we are programming these to celebrate the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II in our coming season. So we're producing this double bill.
And the operas are?
They are Brundibar by Hans Krause and Victor Ullmann's Der Kaiser von Atlantis.
And Brundibar is an opera written for children, correct?
Correct. Yes, it is. It was originally performed by all children. We have in our cast two fantastic high school students that are singing the two lead characters here. We're augmenting it with some of the Kaiser cast, so singing some of the smaller cameo roles like the policeman and the milkman. And then we are having a small children's ensemble also joining us for that.
You have a CCM alum who's returning to stage it and a CCM student who's conducting.
We do. We have an all-Israeli creative team on that aspect. We have Omer Ben-Seadia as our director, and we have Yael Front as our conductor and maestra for the production. We really wanted to keep it in the Jewish community for this project, so we're so excited.
And you're going to be singing in it.
I will be singing in Der Kaiser von Atlantis, yes.
And that's an opera that never got performed until recently, relatively recently, correct?
Right. It fell into obscurity a little bit after the execution of the composer and librettist, but we're so happy that it has come back in. It's such a life-affirming message, and it is such a great piece to show how the arts can be used as a vehicle for change and trying to bring about change from the horrors of the Holocaust and what these artists were experiencing.
And Jennifer, you have a company that's devoted to pretty much upending our ideas about traditional opera, because NanoWorks does contemporary, pretty much hot off the composer's pen operas.
Yes, we do. And we do specialize in having shorter operas, which I personally think that all operas have their different interpretations of them. And there is some kind of opera reform conversation that's been going on for centuries. So I think that we more or less produce kind of the same thing, kind of the same feel for the audience. So what we have coming up in October is we have our Day of the Dead concert. And all these operas have something in common with them, which is some form of mortality or some kind of human weakness having to do with them. So first off, we have Jose Delgado's Apoidea, which is a story about a queen bee, or a metaphor of the queen bee and what she has to do to obtain that power. And we also have, with that insect theme, we have Ronnie Reshef's The Lifespan of a Fly. And she worked with librettist Vinnie Melli, whom I've worked with my Paula Deen opera. And that story is about a fly who wants to become human. But the catch is he can only do it for a day. And he has to rip off his fly wings just to experience, let's say, eating celery, for example. What we'll finish off with is New York composer Daniel Felsenfeld's opera Sheet After. We will be doing the whole world premiere in April, but we thought for the fall would be a good preview to do his two parts to it. And one of them is called Nora in the Great Outdoors, and the other one is Alice in the Time of the Jabberwock. So Nora from A Doll's House, what happens after that happens, after she leaves her family, and Alice after that whole series of adventures takes place.
And these are regional and U.S. premieres.
Correct, actually. With the Daniel Felsenfeld, that is, we certainly have the Midwest premiere there. The Jose Delgado, that's the U.S. premiere, and the Ronnie Reshef.
And who is going to be on your creative team?
Aikai Peng is our conductor. He is currently serving as a visiting professor at CCM as one of the conductors right there, and we are assembling our musicians and singers as we speak for our four operas total.
And you too rely on CCM students and graduates too, don't you?
Absolutely. I think they're a fantastic program, and we're happy to use local singers here.
You've written several operas yourself. Did you start NanoWorks as a way to perform your own work?
Yes and no. I mean, originally, I noticed it's just really hard to get experience creating opera. And a lot of composers these days are realizing the whole, like, do-it-yourself mantra, which is, you know, if we ultimately want our work performed, and I'm sure lots of other singers can relate, you just go out and do it because life is too short to just wait around for some opera company to perform your works. And furthermore, I didn't want to, let's say, write a large-scale opera and kind of fail spectacularly. I wanted to give myself a little bit of experience to write shorter works. And so the opera company was somewhat created to do that, but also in turn, we thought we can help singers, and by we, I mean Kendall A., my co-founder, we can help singers and directors and music directors even just be experienced in performing new opera.
And Sean, the reason for establishing Cincinnati Chamber Opera?
Yeah, kind of along the same mission that Jennifer has here. So there are just so many amazing singers here in Cincinnati and in the region, and we wanted to create some opportunity while at the same time filling this void in the professional opera scene in the region, since Cincinnati opera season is just in the summer. So we wanted to do that, and we're really a proponent of taking opera into the different neighborhoods. And so we try and have a different location for each production to bring it to them.
You had a really remarkable production of Orfeo last February, and we went down on a Friday evening in a snowstorm.
Oh, the snow night. I remember that.
And I was really impressed with not only with the performance, but with the number of people who showed up.
We were a little nervous. We saw that huge blizzard outside, and we said, we think that we need to keep this going. There's only two performances. So we sent out an email to all the ticket holders and said, we'd be happy to give you tickets the other night, but we are going to have a show tonight. And we had a much larger crowd than we anticipated.
Earlier, I mentioned Oktoberfest. Would you like to tell us about the origin of that, Jennifer?
Sure. What I love about having this small opera company in Cincinnati is I think we're all friendly enough and we actually do get together and we talk and we just share ideas as to what's going on.
Definitely.
Or what our next season is. And I think we were sitting in Coffee Emporium and we were sharing our future calendar. And we noticed that all of us pretty much had shows going on in October, which is somewhat exciting, actually.
Yeah.
And so my co-founder was like, well, it's like a little Oktoberfest. I was like, what do you mean Oktoberfest? It's like, get it? Opera?
It was a great pun.
Yeah, but that's how it came to be.
And along with the two of you is Queen City Chamber Opera.
Mm-hmm.
So you're all working together. And I recall that sometimes your artists overlap. Your co-founder, Autumn West, has performed for Nana Works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was fantastic.
And Nana Works is an acronym. What does it stand for?
Yes, it actually stands for North American New Opera Workshop. And we perform North American operas.
You also have done librettist workshops, and you're also making an effort to involve other production members.
We feel like it's part of our job and part of our mission statement, actually, to kind of educate the public as to how operas are created. And back in the day, they had libretto readings. I think like Wagner probably like read his librettos aloud in coffee shops just to hear the dramatic timing and whatnot. And so in a way, it's more of like pulling the curtain back, just showing the process of, yes, as a composer, I absolutely need text first. No, I do not write my own text like Wagner does. I'm not that talented. And just show them the steps involved.
Well, it's wonderful to have three chamber opera companies, and especially three that are cooperating and putting on such exciting works. And we're looking forward to your seasons and hearing more from both of you. My guests have been Jennifer Jolly and Sean Malinek. Jennifer is the co-founder and artistic director of NanoWorks, and Sean is the co-founder and artistic director of Cincinnati Chamber Opera. NanoWorks presents Day of the Dead, October 16th and 17th at Hofner Lodge in Northside. Cincinnati Chamber Opera presents Brundabar and Der Kaiser von Atlantis, October 23rd, 25th, and 26th. There are three venues, the Jewish Community Center, the Jarson Kaplan Theater at the Aronoff, and the Fifth Third Theater at the Aronoff. You can find out more about all the productions by going to our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ann Ehrenstein.